Hello everyone, my name is Jen Torres and I am a God, and so are you. Like many of you, I was raised to believe that if I just prayed hard enough, God would save me. As it turns out, that was actually true. I saved me. At the age of 15, I became pregnant with a beautiful baby girl who dropped in just in time to save my miserable life. This was my first awakening. This podcast is about all of the words and listening to those words to begin to envision what is possible. Because sometimes, as individuals, we feel we need to know everything, have it all together, and be everything all of the time. But that's why we live in a world filled with other people. Each person holds a piece of the puzzle. It's about being open to new information, new ideas, and new perspectives. We're going to talk about all of the topics surrounding what it takes for you to step into your God-Goddess journey with me as we uncover all things living self-actualized and in your inherent divine God state. This podcast is about doing whatever it takes to develop and nourish the God in you.
Danny Frederick, you all. Today's guest is a divine feminine mystic, a multidimensional way shower who makes the mystical practical. Danny helps women embody their higher self, ground their Sophia Christ light, and channel their oracular magic with grace, play, and cosmic precision. Get ready for a blend of ancient wisdom, modern leadership, and some serious sacred levity, thank the gods. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the She's a God podcast. You guys know what's going on. We have a beautiful guest on today. Her name is Danny Frederick, and she's everything and more. We jumped on, and as soon as she jumped on, we were like talking like we're BFFs. It's crazy. Welcome.
Truly, I'm like so happy to be here. Thank you, sister from another lifetime. I'm like so great to be reunited, and hello to all your lovely community. So happy to have you sit with us today, all.
Yes. I mean, you all, first of all, I found you because I was scrolling and all of a sudden I'm like, okay, so let me set the scene. Okay. So that like people can really get what's happening is I'm lying in my bed and I'm like scrolling, which I shouldn't be doing. But then I scroll and my partner calls my name. So I'm like, okay, like I like kind of lift my head and put my phone down, and it stops on your video, and your video, you're singing. And I swear it was like the most angelic, ancient tone. I literally wrote down the word ancient tone that I think I've ever heard in my life. And he was saying something. And I was just like, shut up. I was like, be quiet. I'm like, who is this? And immediately I'm like, oh my God, I need her. I need her to come on the show. So thank you so much for coming on.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for having me and sharing that story. I hadn't heard that story yet. And that is so amazing. Like, bless up. So grateful to be here.
Yes. It's so good. So straight away, I'm going to tell you guys, check Danny out on IG. I really feel that there's something really special here, and Goddess always is like, this is who you need to come on, and it's always right on time. So just shout out your IG really quick so people can like check you out.
Love that. It's at Danny Frederick, or Danny.Frederick. So D-A-N-I period F-R-E-D-E-R-I-C-K.
Yes. Okay. So check her out and you will hear what I'm talking about. I'm actually going to try to get some sound on, as an intro kind of vibe thing too. But I just have to know, tell me about you. For as soon as Danny came on, we recognized we're both from Wisconsin, which is nuts. So were you born here or?
Yeah, girl, born and raised. And then I left when I was 26. I had like this huge dark night of the soul, picked up and left, moved to New York City. And that was that.
Oh my God. What prompted you to move to New York?
Oh my gosh. I was living a life that was not mine. I was living a life that checked all the boxes, right? You go to college, you get in a relationship, you get a job, you try to get a promotion. And the person I was with at the time was such a beautiful soul. God bless him. God bless him. But we weren't right for each other. We wanted different things. And he really desired a small town life. And there's nothing wrong with that. And my soul is a big, fiery soul that designed this lifetime in a different way. And I felt so lost. I felt so alone and so lost. And so, you know, as one does, I had like a mental breakdown at like 3 a.m. one morning, just crying and just being like, I don't belong here. It doesn't feel right. I don't like my job. I don't really feel like I fit in community. I don't, you know, I'm just, this doesn't feel like me. And I didn't have the verbiage, you know, looking back, my intuition had been screaming at me for years, but I had no idea. I had no idea. I wasn't in the personal development world. I hadn't awakened yet. And I didn't know how to listen to my body. I didn't know how to read the signs. I didn't know actually how to feel my needs, discern my needs, communicate my needs, and really make those pathways for my true self to come online. And so that was the beginning. I cried and just decided, you know, okay, this is not working. I had a friend in New York who I had visited and I had loved. We went out to dinner and like, I was just like, this city is vivacious. This feels so much more like me. And so I moved out there kind of overnight. And I remember calling my mom and just being like, Mom, if I get hit by a bus tomorrow, know that I died happy. Like I found my people who get me, and went through a little bit of a hardcore party girl phase after being in sleepy Wisconsin for 26 years, which was very needed. And then I had my awakening. So that was that.
Oh my gosh. So how did it work with you moving to New York though? Did you feel like it was just like the biggest move you were ever making in your life? I feel like so many people want to do something like that, but then they're too afraid.
Yeah. You know, the bigness of it was more fear around career and also being in the unknown around like, okay, I'm betting on myself, but who am I even? Like, what am I even doing type thing? And to the point where I remember, so I will say from a job standpoint, we had some clients in New York. I worked in tech and there were some clients in New York. And so I had pitched the CEO to have me be on the ground in the field in New York. And he really wasn't on board, which was weird because it made so much sense. I'm like, clients want like in-person support, but he really wasn't on board. But I had a great manager. I had a great manager at the time, and she really went to bat for me. But I was so uncomfortable in the office and so uncomfortable with asking for my own needs that I literally for like 3 days couldn't keep lunch down. Like I remember eating Chipotle and then having to go throw it up in the bathroom. Not like making myself throw up, just like I was like, I can't keep food down. I'm a nervous wreck. Because at that point I was like, I'm moving no matter what. So either my manager gets the CEO on board and we move, or he's not on board and I move. And I did that. And, you know, I think when you take these bold actions where you're listening to your true self, the universe will rearrange itself. And I'll give one example is, so I was looking online, you know, taking the human action, like the 3D action, looking on Craigslist, looking on apartment, like looking for an apartment, just thinking, okay, what am I going to do? Like, I've got to do this. Wasn't really finding anything. But then the same manager who was going to bat for me with the CEO, she actually was my manager at a bar in college that I worked at, that I bartended at. Right. And there was another bartender who had worked with us, but her and I had never really met because we knew of each other, but we never worked the same shifts. So she goes, you know, so-and-so is living in New York right now. And she just posted that she needs a roommate. So got on the Zoom, got my roommate. I literally landed in New York. One of my friends who had been living in New York for like 5 years was like, are you kidding me? This is the place you landed in. Like I was on 23rd and Madison, like right in the middle of the city. She's like, I've been here for 5 years and you just decide on a whim you want to move here. And this is the place you get, you know, but it was that conviction. And it's like, and I think this is what's important for people listening is I said yes before I had the plan. And that's the key. And it's not say yes and throw yourself off a cliff and don't take the human actions. Like you need to take care of yourself. You don't want to throw yourself into survival. But it's like, I knew I was meant to move. New York was calling. It was like, okay, let me do this. Let me reach out. Who do I know? Who do I know? And then the universe routed me. Hey, here's someone actually from your past who's looking for a roommate. And boom, perfect. So yeah, that's how it transpired.
That's so amazing to hear because I feel like so many people, especially women, want to take that jump, even if it is in career or direction in your life. It can be scary. It can be like, is this going to work out? But I love the way you explained the universe rearranging itself because that's so true. I've experienced it for myself. yourself. And when the soul is like, yes, and you jump in with both feet, somehow it just catches you. So how did you begin your journey with sound? When did that start?
Okay. Wow. So I will say that I guess I'll start here. You know, I had a very typical experience as a child, being told you're too loud, you sing too high, you know, all the things we go through with our special type of like shutdown, right? That then later in life we get to grow through and heal and emerge from and rebirth from. And so I was singing all the time as a child, and then that just got shut down. And then as I was walking my priestess path, and I would just be in my morning devotion, spirit started giving me chants. And at first they came through, I didn't know this at the time, but they were coming through in light language. And that was just for a little bit. And then they started giving me English chants. And it wouldn't be like I'm sitting down and saying, hey, give me a chant. It would just be like, they know that I'm going through something, and they would just drop it in and it would just download. I wouldn't get a pen and a paper or anything. It would just be like, here's the chant. And so I started collecting all of these chants, and I was like, all right, well, these aren't just supposed to like sit on my Google Drive. They're, you know, they're meant to be shared, because chanting is such a sacred practice. It really calls our consciousness and our power back to us. And not only that, it helps us direct our intention so that we can walk a higher, you know, more loving path that's in line with our soul blueprint. And so I started doing online chanting circles, just free monthly. I'm not doing them anymore. I've passed them on to some mentees. I've passed the torch and basically just said, do with it what you want. It's no longer mine. And that was my practice. Like, I was like, okay, now I need to practice like singing in front of people. Why don't I do a free chanting circle? And I share that piece of it because I think so often when we're marrying our sacred work, like our spiritual work with our service, people think it's about what you serve. And it is to an extent, but it's really about who you become through it. So that was my whole purpose in doing it. The community grew to over 300 people, but I was just in my practice to the bigger vision that I had been shown by spirit, which I'll get to in a moment. But I was like, how do I practice? Because singing alone is different than singing in front of people. Singing in person feels different than singing online. Singing chants feels different than singing light language. So I was given all these chants, and I started doing that. And it was really just the English chants for a couple of years. And then I got quite sick because I was resisting the universe and what it was asking of me. And so I was pretty like bedridden for about 2 months because of two main reasons, right? Because I mean, we have the spiritual aspect, there's physical aspects, and there's irritants at both part and in inputs and contributors. But I'm going to speak to the spiritual aspects only in this time. So the first aspect is spirit was asking me to go full time in my spiritual business, in my sacred work. And I had wanted that for so long. But when the moment arrived, you know, I was like, why isn't it here yet? Blah, 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 da, 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 right? But then when I actually became the person who was ready to steward that, and I had a little more wisdom under my belt, I was like, no, don't make me do this. I don't want to do it. Give me a part-time job. I was like, maybe can I like consult part-time? And then I promise spirit, like I'll build my sacred business on the side. Like, don't make me do it. And spirit was like, we basically already gave you that and you did nothing with your extra time. So nope, we're putting your feet to the fire and this is what's happening. And then the other element was light language, which is the language of the angels, the language of the soul. For people listening who might not know, it's a vibrational language that bypasses the left brain, speaks directly to your DNA to essentially allow your body to release what's no longer needed and bring online more of your true self without getting stuck in story. Because when we talk English words, things can swirl around in the mental body and we can kind of get stuck in this part of our being. But light language bypasses that, so we can just get to the down and dirty and be like, all right, this leaves, activate this. Like, we don't need the mind involved. So yeah, but for those who haven't heard light language before, it can, and you don't know about it, it can be a little confronting or it can feel weird, or you're like, is this safe? So it was coming online for me. I had heard it before in spiritual circles, but I never really thought anything of it. It was very neutral. I wasn't attracted to it and I didn't dislike it. I just thought this is a thing. Then it started coming online for me for a bit in me in a big way. And I thought it was just for my personal use. But then it started getting really clear through my direct guidance and my mentors, one of which we share, or we have some connections to, Marin. The guides were coming through and were like, if your purpose is a tree, like if your life is a tree, like 75% of the trunk is light language, like of what you're meant to do. So if you want, you have free will, you don't have to move forward. But, you know, if you want the fulfilling life that you feel is possible in your heart, like you're going to have to move through this gateway of fear and come out of the spiritual closet a second time. Because I'm like, I'm already a priestess. I already live a weird life. Now you want me to come out with like this vibrational language and all the things that can come with that. And I basically just, to the extent that you can quote unquote make a deal with your guides, which is just kind of funny. Like I it's like it was choiceless choice, but in my mind and my ego, I wanted to be like, I'll make you a deal, spirit. Show me that it's safe and I'll come out of the closet. And they routed me to someone who's actually a colleague now, who I'm working in some of her programs and doing some work together. But she has tens of thousands of followers. And I went to her IG and I just saw like, wow. And all she does, she's really pristine and really well-versed in light language. And that's what her main offering is on Instagram. And she's just the clearest aura, the brightest light, and so grounded. And I was like, okay, this can be safe. I can do this. Like, she's celebrated and she's honored. She's not being burned at the stake. Like, that's not this lifetime. We can leave that in the past. Let's go. So I started to use light language and singing. What you're referencing is there's both a light language and there's the sung light language, which is what you experienced, that prompted you to reach out. And I started testing it with very close clients, with colleagues, and just gathering data. And then, you know, it basically, people were reflecting like, wow, when you sing over me, it feels like an ayahuasca journey or like any type of plant medicine. And now that's what I do. I literally just sing over people's bodies and we clear past lives. We awaken their divine DNA. And essentially what we're doing at the very core of it is just making more space in their body so that more of their actual soul can be in their physicality. And of course, as you know, as within, so without, as you embody more of your light, more of your external reality begins to actually reflect your true soul nature, your true soul blueprint, your true soul mission. And that's the beauty of it all. So to just wrap that in a nutshell for you, sound has kind of been in a through line. I've never studied sound in this lifetime. I've studied it in many other lifetimes. And if spirit had told me even 3 years ago, this is what I'd be doing, I was not ready and I would not understand. And so, you know, if you're listening and you have gifts awakening and you're like, what am I supposed to do with this? Like, please just keep going. You're going to be so happy on the other side of it. And for a little bit, you're going to be like, WTF is happening.
It's so true. A friend of mine sent me a GIF of the spiritual journey and it just showed how like someone was like, oh, you know, you've awakened. And then he's like kind of holding her. And then out of nowhere, he's like, okay, let's go. And he just grabs her hand and starts running. Like, and she's like, oh my God, like, where are we going? So it does feel that way. Like it can feel like, oh my gosh, how did I get from like here to here? And I love the way you talk about sound. I love your profile says light language and source frequency oracle. And I felt that like through just the one post that I heard. That's why I was like, okay, I have to reach out to her because it's so interesting. I've heard light language before. Okay. So I grew up in like a Pentecostal Christian church. And listen, no, it's like church hurt vibes, but like, listen, I heard light language before, like speaking in tongues was like the, what they would call it. And it's different though. Like it does sound not like that, but like, it's kind of like the same sort of thing. So when I was on my spiritual journey, you know, like, and I still am, but like when I first started out and I heard it, I was like, oh, I know that, you know, like I heard someone on YouTube doing it. I'm like, I know that, like people in my, like my church growing up used to do it. But then I was like, oh, it's different. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, have you heard like church speaking in tongues or like, what are your thoughts there?
No, I haven't. So what my understanding is that speaking in tongues is the same as light language or like at least in the same realm or the same field. But what I've never experienced it through the lens of organized religion. And what I will speak to is that I've had people who have felt so much freedom in their light language after they've cleared some of density that they took on or some paradigms that they took on through the organized religion. So anyone that's listening, I'm not poo-pooing organized religion whatsoever. I'm just trying to like share some contrast to help. But I, from what I've heard from clients is some have been involved in particular organizations or churches where it was like only special people get to speak in tongues. And it's only like in a certain way. And there's some specifics around it that feel a bit heavy. And light language, the way I relate to it is that the soul resides in the realm of light. So if you have a soul, you have access to light language. There's no gatekeeping here. We all have direct access. Now, that being said, everyone has access to a basketball court. Am I going to go play basketball? No, I'm not. But, you know, if you are drawn to light language, just know that you have access to it. But I'd love to hear like more from you about what your experience is that's different between the two, because I haven't experienced it through that lens in this lifetime.
Well, I will tell you this, that it was very real. Like even being a little girl in the church, I could feel the energy shift like in the church. I was like, whoa, like this is real, right? Like that I could sense, like even as a kid, I didn't know what organized religion was or like the fact that I was in this construct at the time, but like I could feel it changing things, you know? And so I love the way you broke that down though too with the frequency and like the way it actually does. What was your explanation with it gets past like the brain barrier or something and it like,
yeah, it passes the mental body. It passes the left brain so that you're not trying to translate it from your mental body. It can just speak to your intuitive and really directly to your DNA.
And I almost kind of feel like just the word, okay, when you think about it too, like language, like even on earth, we have many different languages, right, that we can speak. And I feel like that's the kind of vibe too with like, I just think church language is like something different. You know what I mean? I think it's like a different kind of language. And then I think that like light language and spirituality, I've also heard many different frequencies from people. You know, it's almost like a different language within the light language vibe, if that makes sense.
100%. You're absolutely right. Because what can happen is you can, how do I want to say this? You can channel your soul language, right? Which is like more of like your actual soul. But then you can start channeling other consciousnesses like Pleiadian or like star beings and things. So you're going to experience different quote unquote languages. And then you're also going to experience different dialects within that language. Just like in English, we have like how you and I are speaking. But if you go to the deep south, you know, there might be a southern drawl, you know, but it's both English, but it's different dialects, so to speak.
Exactly. That's kind of how I've experienced it within the spiritual community. And then also like as a little girl and then getting older and becoming free in my spirituality and being like, oh my God, like I kind of know that. But then it's like, no, that's different. And I have heard other women channeling where I'm like, that's nice. But like, I could tell it wasn't for me. You know what I mean? But then like, I hear your stuff and I'm like, that's my vibe. I'm like, yes, like this is so good. Like I know this. Yes, I'm loving this. And the other part too that I'm really interested in is like when you are using this healing frequency, like over women or like whoever you're working with, what are like some of the changes that you've seen? Like, what are some of the ways in which this has helped people?
Yeah. Oh, I love this question. And I will get I'll give a shout out to the brothers too. I actually, my most recent in-person clients have been men. And so that's like really fun. Spirit's showing me that I'm actually going to start working with a lot of men as well in the future, which is just so beautiful. So, Yeah. Some of the things that happen. Okay. So I'll give a couple examples. So one, we were specifically focusing on opening up their voice and they had been wanting to throat sing. Like, I don't know if you've heard throat singing. I can't do it, so I can't demonstrate it, but it's like a type of like tribes do it. It's really cool. Like if I was actually going to study any sound outside of myself, probably throat sing would be the first one. Like I would love to throat sing. All right. Point being, he's been trying to throat sing for a long time. It hasn't been working. What I do when I bring people into a session is I'm actually channeling just more of their own soul light so that their DNA can awaken. So what can happen is we have like DNA and skills from and gifts from other lifetimes, right, that we've honed that lay dormant. It's almost like the bud of a rose in your DNA. And they want to awaken, but they need a frequency match, like a resonant frequency to then activate, open, blossom, right? Now, if we just sit on our own, because right, no one can ever come between you and your soul. source and you and your God. I want to make that very clear. However, if you were to sit there and be like, I want to throat sing, I want to throat sing, I want to throat sing. Well, you know, the light try to comes through, but then it has to get through all your mental barriers, all your conditioning, all of your stories. And that's why we go to healers, right? Like I have my own team of healers I see because it can be really hard to read the label from inside the jar. So when people come to me, I'll be channeling their own soul chants, their own soul light language to basically raise the amount of frequency in the room to just be them, where what's ready to awaken in them pops open. So this person had been trying to throat sing and throat sing and throat sing. It wasn't working. First 10 minutes, boom, started throat singing. It was amazing. And it's because he could feel that. He had honed that in other lifetimes and he could feel it wanting to bud, but he couldn't, you know, necessarily get it to totally open yet. But I'll sing a light language. And again, it's channeling their own soul. And so they basically just get to be in a cosmic vortex of their own self to awaken more of their own self. So that's an example. Other examples, there's so much that's tied to the throat. The throat is so much more than talking and singing. It is literally how we bridge spirit and matter. This is how we weave spirit into matter. And so a lot of what will happen is a lot of clearing of past lives or soul integration and soul fragments coming back in, where there might be lives where we were in a position of power and leadership, and maybe we led our people into war and we looked around and we were like, I regret having this power. I should not have chosen war. I should not have done this. And we cut ourselves off from our voice, because our voice is our authority. Our voice is our leadership.
Oh, I just got goosebumps all over. Like, whoa.
Yeah. So it's not just a witch wound. Like we all know the persecution, like burned at the stake wound, but there's so many other past lives to clear where in there's somewhere we consciously chose, like, I will cut myself off from my power because look at this devastation that I created. And so what we do is we clear that and we reinstate the knowing that we are worthy, that we are whole, that we are held, and that spirit, God, loves us and wants us to use our voice. So there's a lot of actual healing that happens, even if we're focalizing in on the voice. And my sessions aren't always just focalized on the voice. I work a lot on the priestess path, you know, and do a lot of different types of channeling. But I will say when we do, since we're talking about and focalizing on sound in this podcast, even when I'm working with someone to open their voice in this way, there's a ton of healing that just happens for the whole person. Because again, as humans, we think our voice is just sound, but our voice is creation. Our voice is it's our self. It's our big S self. And that's why we're all being called. I think there's so many people out there that are having this inclination to heal their throat chakra, to sing. They're like, I have a soul song that wants to come out. I don't even know what that means, but I know I have one and I want to use my voice. And it's like, yeah, because it's our divine authority and it's how we actually impact change.
Yeah. Wow. That's so fascinating. Actually, I never thought about that. Like the fact that the throat is so much more than just, you know, singing and speaking. And I mean, it's just, when you think about it, it's everything. Because I mean, like even in human design, it's like the only part that actually you can experience this outward expression of your energy. So it's like crazy when you actually really start to think about how powerful the throat chakra is. But I am fascinated with all types of healing when it comes to sound. Healing is actually a little bit newer for me. I started out with like all the things with like Reiki and stuff like that. But when it comes to this frequency, I'm also loving, you know, just like playing frequencies like in my house. So because you're on this path and you are like a sound queen, in my opinion, like you're kind of like a frequency queen, like you know, like about frequency, are there any like suggestions that you can give us when it comes to like frequency apps or like anything spiritual? Like what is your necessities in your life? Like what do you use when it comes to, what are some of your go-tos? I feel like I want to ask.
So I'm going to take this question in a little bit of a annoying but powerful direction. But can you please bring me back to that question? Because I do have some that are more like exactly what you're asking that I will recommend. And the most powerful frequency is you. So I want to go back to what you said about human design, which is this is so important. The throat is the only channel where there's an outward expression. What's happening when we're voicing? This is why it's so powerful. First of all, our voice literally connects us back to the great cosmic mother's womb. It is attached to the everything and the all. It is the only instrument that does that. Our voice is of God. Instruments are of man. Our voice literally connects us to our soul, to all of our other lifetimes and experiences, all the way back to divine source, to all that is. And when we use our voice, when we hum, when we sing, when we chant, our soul is literally encoding our cells as we sound through us for us to become more of our true self frequency. So if you think about it, there's so often where the divine authority in this culture is outside of us. I have to get a certification. Oh, it's a book. It's a podcast. Even if they're, you know, this is a podcast. This is beautiful. This is going to help a lot of people. This is amazing. But it's right. The sound enters us from outside of ourselves, like the physiology, our physical cells feel the sound coming from outside of us inward. When we use our voice, our cells feel the vibration coming from inside, moving out. What does this mean? It means we are putting ourselves on notice that we are the divine authority, that we can trust ourselves, that we can believe in ourselves. It's really amazing and astounding to me because I never thought of myself as a vocalist or having to do anything with the voice. I still don't. I'm like, wait, how am I known for this? And oh, I guess I do this every day and this is what I do. But I just think of myself as a priestess because these are Hathorian technologies. Those with Egyptian lifetimes, those connected to goddess Hathor, Hathor, Isis, the Magdalens. This is the sound technologies that bring through golden ages. And it's because we are all of the light. And as we sing, we can bring our soul through and it encodes us. And the voice is so much more than sound. It's literally saying, I am worthy to take up space here. I am vulnerable enough and compassionate enough to let me hear me. Let me hear myself. Let me let these sounds move through me. And so I'm always amazed when I'm in this vocal work with people. It's like when I do a check-in at the beginning of a session, it has nothing to do with the voice. They're like, oh my gosh, I like redid my relationship with my husband. It's so great now. Or, oh my gosh, I'm speaking in this way. Or I had this manifestation happen where now I'm going to host something at a yoga studio. I never thought I would be hosting workshops again, but it feels so natural. Like I'm in my leadership. What happens is confidence. What happens is courage. What happens is self-belief. Why? Because the voice is our divine authority, our knowing that we are here for a reason, that we are innately worthy, and we are loved beyond anything outside of us.
Honestly, I just hearing you say that, this is so kind of, I guess, an amateur thought, but like the first thing I thought about is like anytime I get into, like, it doesn't happen often, but anytime I get into like an argument or like something with my partner or something like that, I notice, and he always will call me out, like kind of laughing, like jokingly, but I always notice I start humming. Like, let's say like we will like be like, no, but like, what do you think about this? And like, that's not what it said. And then again, you know how sometimes like when you're in the middle of it with someone, it gets a little quiet. Sometimes you just are like both get quiet for a second. Anytime that happens, I start humming and I'm like, what am I doing? And I think I'm nurturing myself or I'm trying to like chill the frequency or something. It's so interesting.
That's not amateur at all. That is your ancient priestess knowing coming online, knowing exactly what the moment needs. And when you hum, you activate your vagus nerve, which is like this super highway running down the center of your body. And it does calm. It takes us out of the fight or flight. And you're also, again, imbuing your own frequencies of like, what's the highest knowing here? It's happening at a subconscious level. And I will say just real quick before I forget, Meditative Mind on YouTube, those are good for frequencies for the home. Because I know you asked that. I don't want listeners to be like, hey, you didn't say that. I also have vocal sound baths on YouTube that are really great if you listen to it while you have like a goddess bath or something to activate that. But yeah, you humming in those moments is just your knowing of what's needed and what the medicine is for you in that moment. It's not amateur in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, thank you for that. Those tools that you just shouted out on your YouTube and stuff, just because I always feel like people who are specific in certain things that they're fantastic at, they tend to have amazing shortcuts. And I'm all about it. I'm like, what do you listen to? What do you love? So what are some of your, and thank you for saying that that's not amateur. It makes me feel a lot better. But what do you feel too, like on your spiritual journey, which it sounds like you've been on for some time, what are your like non-negotiables? What are things you have to have, do in order to like stay in alignment?
Well, the last 2 years I call chaos stacking. I feel like my spirit guides have stretched me to the point where they're like, what else can we just throw on her plate just to see and like stretch her like pizza dough? But I understood what was happening, which is I am the key code. I am the sacred tool. And I really truly feel like I'm to a point now where I need nothing outside of myself. I am still going to speak to some things because I think there's the things that are helpful along the way. But also if you're going through just like extreme chaos, know that those are your your training grounds, if you so choose to walk through those doors of initiation, is really to ground in deep and know that there's nothing outside of you that you need. So I think when I was first awakening, I needed a lot of the crystals. I needed all the incense. I needed the tools, right? And that doesn't mean you're young on your path. Like, that doesn't have to mean that. Like, we like what we like, right? Like, now I have all of that. I have all my oils. I have, you know, the crystals. I've got the instruments. I've got it all. But if it was all taken away tomorrow, I'd be fine.
I know. I'm just going to tell you, I know what you mean. So like, I just want to say, and then I want you to finish what you were saying, but like, I know what you mean. Like when you get to a point where you're like, become sort of like the frequency holder where you're like, I'm good. Where like before it was like, no, like I need this, this, and this, or I'm going to freak the F out. Like,
totally. Or, you know, you might go, I went through a period where I was like relying way too much on oracle cards. And I was like actually giving my power away to decks of cards, which is so ridiculous, right? But it's like, we have to be careful with that of like, am I actually giving my power away to something outside myself, even if it's a tool that's designed to help me? And so that was definitely part of my spiritual journey. Now, all of that being said, I love essential oils. I think fragrance is really important to activate different parts of the brain. And I think a nice, clean, like scent, like you saw me even before we got on, I'm over here, I'm like sniffing my oils, you know?
I was so curious what it was. I was like, please, like, tell me, what is this?
Yeah. So I love Emerald Temple oils. I'll give them a shout out. Diana DeBrow, the Rosa Mystica. It has over 2,000 rose petals in each drop. It's really sacred. So you're obviously like not slathering this around your body. You're using it to anoint and be in relationship with. And the other one is also from her. It's her compassion blend. I just, you know, they really anchor me to my center. And I would say the Shruti box is an instrument that is so galactic, so cosmic. It spans space and time. I think humming with that in the morning is an amazing practice, and it will open up so many key codes within you. I've got a great Shruti guy. If you need one, let me know, reach out. And also the drum. I think a lot of women are drawn to the drum. And the drum is a very sacred instrument and will also anchor you and ground you and open up key codes within you. So I think there's some other things if we want to think about, like the physical body, staying hydrated, getting enough sleep, creating an environment that's clean and not cluttered. You know, simple things that we know, but we really gotta like really own it and embody it in these days, because there's so much swirling around us that we are the light, we are the key code, we are the frequency. And so we have to nurture our mental body, our emotional body, our physical bodies, and our spiritual bodies to be whole and complete. Because, you know, our divinity is holy and our human is also holy. And we are all of it.
I love those. I love all of that. And I love the suggestions as well. I was going to ask, I know the essential oils, drums, love. What was the box? What were you saying?
Oh, Shruti box. Yeah. I don't have mine to hand. Have you heard of kirtan or like a harmonium?
Okay. Is it like a, what does it most look like instrument wise?
It looks like a wooden box. And then I don't know if you're going to be able to hear the sound. Can you hear it?
It kind of sounds like it's a bit like harsh sounding right now, but I bet like it probably is just because we're on.
I think it's because where we're on, because it's not, yeah, it's not harsh in person. But if you Google Shruti Box, Shruti, like on YouTube, you'll find plenty. And it's really, really, it's relaxing, it's activating, it's all the things. And they will unlock so many chambers in your voice. It's like, because when you sing with a crystal bowl has a very pure, specific tone. Each bowl has a very pure, specific tone. A Shruti, I find, allows for you to really explore and harmonize and ride all these waves of its own sound, where you'll actually just feel like more sounds being emitted through your vocal vessel as well. Like, I can't recommend Shruti boxes highly enough if you are looking to sing and just like harmonize with yourself.
I'm loving that. I'm ordering it. And when I order it, I will send you a picture, because it's like, it's happening. So other thing I wanted to ask, and this almost kind of brings it back to a little bit of what you're talking about at the beginning, how you're, you know, were you born and raised in Wisconsin, and then you moved to New York, and then are you still in New York now?
No, I'm in Sedona.
You're Sedona now. Okay. So my question is, and I love this question, I throw it out all the time, and that's just because there's a lot of women who listen to this podcast who are on, you know, the spiritual path, and they have gifts and they want to use it out in the world. And they're also, you know, don't wish to be poor. Okay. Like they're like, how do I like be abundant as fuck and also like share my gifts? So I feel like you're doing it. So what do you feel was like essential on your path to, I feel like you kind of really talked about it, but what would you share for mystics and priestesses and oracles, or however people want to go about identifying, but what would you share in terms of going on their path and really getting their work out in the world in a way that feels abundant to them?
I love this question. And I think I'll start here. You know, I spent 2 years stuck in that idea of like, just be the frequency, be the frequency, be the frequency, and don't take action. There's like one realm of thought that's just like, oh no, just be in flow, like just be, you know, and I don't feel like I'm the only one, because I did a live on this and I literally had someone be like, what's your Venmo? And they sent me $100 because they were like, this is exactly what I needed to hear. And I spent 2 years in that of meditating and then thinking that my heaven on earth reality was just going to fall through the ceiling. And that's not the vibe. That's not it. We're here in a realm of form. We've got to do, there is effort. Like, I'm sorry, that's going to trigger some people, because here's the thing. It's like, we effort so much in like these unaligned things. And it's like, I just don't want to effort anymore. And the thing is though, the effort becomes so much more fulfilling. And so here's what I will say. What you're asking is, how do I become? We're talking about the becoming. And what that is it's yes, the frequency. You do have to do the inner work. You have to do the alignment work. You have to become the frequency of your true self. Because otherwise, if you don't do that work, you're just going to build another cage for yourself wrapped in spiritual wrapping paper. And there's a lot of people that do that, that they build without, you know, a little too soon, or like without continuing to do the inner work. And then it's like, they still have the internal unworthiness. They still have the internal second guessing and self-doubt. And it's not that you have to wait till you're perfect to do your business. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, we have to take the transaction out of it. We have to not say, I've now embodied spirituality, so now my business should be making 6 figures tomorrow. That's not reality, because the reality is, a business, a spiritual business, requires you to be embodied, yes, which is what you are when your spiritual teacher comes online and wants to do a business. It's like, yeah, you're embodied in that. But have you embodied the entrepreneurial skills that this world of form requires? Do you know how to make a registration page? Do you know how Stripe works to collect payment? Do you know how to market? Do you show up on Instagram and speak your truth? These are all the things of becoming. It's having the knowing and the inspiration, and then taking small action. And through each action, we become. So let me give an example. It's not, I need to escape my job, so I'm going to launch a program tomorrow and have it be successful. It's, I know that I was given this greater vision because I'm capable of it. What's the first step? Let's say the first step is holding an online masterclass. What I tell people that I mentor, it's not about who shows up. It's not even about how the masterclass goes. It's about the weeks leading up to the masterclass, where you're second guessing yourself, where you're doubting that you're worthy, where you don't know, oh my God, I don't know how to design this. What are we even going to do? People are going to laugh at me. People are going to judge me. Those are the gateways that you walk through of entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship is going to bring up every shadow you have, every shadow you have. There is no escaping it. You are choosing to walk through the fire, and it is so worth it. So that's what I mean by transactional, is it's not all of a sudden you're embodied and awakened, let me have this successful program in business tomorrow. It's, all right, now I know there's steps to embody entrepreneurship and have a sacred marriage between the world of form entrepreneurship and my sacred gifts and what I'm here to share in my wisdom. And every time you do a masterclass, every time you gather people, every time you do a podcast, every time you do a program, you get better and better, and you quantum leap. But the people who quantum leap are the people who aren't looking at it as, I need this to save me. They're looking at it as, I am doing the work to become who actually stewards that vision that I'm shown that I'm going to be capable of 3, 4, 5 years from now. And right now I'm at where I'm at, and I'm going to do the work. And as I take small action, and then I tend to my wounding, and I anchor more frequencies, it's like this beautiful infinity symbol. And the marriage of that zero point of the infinity, that's the becoming.
Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, like, you're a vocalist, you sing, but, like, where's your fucking TED Talk? Because that was amazing. Like I'm like, look at it. Chop that up and like give it to myself like anytime I'm feeling down. Like,
well, you know, that's what I do. It's like I do these Hathorian technologies, these vocal things, but they're all in the realm of the priestess. It is the initiation. The priestess, what I look at, this is becoming your true self here in this world of form. It is the masculine and the feminine. It is the heaven and the human. So a lot of the work I do is a sacred call for those who are ready to walk in their holy fire. The ones who are ready to truth, they've done all the Reiki trainings, they've read all the books, they've done all the podcasts, they've done the personal development. And now they're like, well, wait, why is my reality still not shifted? It's like, well, it's all in your mental body. We need to become now. We need to activate all the other things that you did in all the other lifetimes. Let's bring those gifts online. Let's clear all the bullshit. Let's get with it. Let's go. Let's be the priestesses here on earth. It's not just let's put on the goddess garb and like have a rose ceremony. No hate on rose ceremonies. I do them all the time. I love them. But you know what I'm saying? I'm just doing a call out there. I want people to feel the fire of like, who are you here to be? And how are you going to walk that path? And what support are you going to set up for yourself so that you don't walk it alone, so that you can keep going? So that you can feel more love rather than more distortion, more courage rather than more like fatalistic thinking, because we all can do it. We can. That's why we're here. We've just forgotten. And this world is a little shitty, and that's okay. We are here to make it better, and we can do that. We can do that.
Yeah, I feel like that. Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Like, it's so important. Okay. And here's why too. I love everything that you said because it just ties it all up in a pretty little bow. Like, I love this because the most lost I've ever felt in my life is when I've been on my spiritual journey with like no grounded direction. Okay. It's enough to make somebody go fucking insane. Like, it's like, I am like lost in dimensions. I'm like, I don't even know where I am. I don't know what fucking day it is. Like, and all of a sudden I realize I'm like, I'm missing a piece here. And like, you just described that piece so well. Like, the piece that's missing in so many women who do the work that we do is that grounding and like direction. I love that you just said that because so many women struggle and is specifically that aspect. And I think that if they could ground into their gifts, it's like they will find so much more empowerment. And also, they are going to feel so much better in their life. Instead of feeling lost, like, I don't know where I am, I don't know where I'm going, they're going to be like, whoa, I know exactly where I'm going and I know exactly who I am. So I feel like that's the piece that like so many people are missing. And you've explained that so extremely well. So thank you so much for that. Like, I'm loving, loving, loving it. Yeah. So talk about like what you're working on right now. Like, what do you have going on? You're in the middle of a launch. I want to hear it all.
Yes. So I have a 9-month program that is called Holy Fire. And it's interesting because last year my program was called Priestess I Am, which I love that name, but it was originally going to be called Holy Fire. And Spirit said, you haven't embodied your Holy Fire yet. You've embodied your priestess. You can call it Priestess I Am. And this year, because I channel everything I do, they're like, Holy Fire. The Holy Fire is here. And it's exactly what we've been talking about. It's truly doing the practices, doing the ceremonies, doing the frequency work with some of the highest frequencies that are available to unearth at this time to actually clear out our system and anchor more soul light to be embodied in who we truly are. What does that actually mean? I'll give one example because I'm in a 10-day summit right now that's free. I don't know if it'll still be up when this episode airs, but just a couple days in, we had people share like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. I'm speaking my truth to like all of my community and it's being received. They're like, I never thought I'd be this person. And that's what I mean when I'm like, frequency work works beyond the mind. So it's not that someone said, I need to go take classes on how to speak my truth. I need to like really, like force it. It's like, why don't we just do the frequency work that we've done in umpteen lifetimes, clear that from your DNA, and all of a sudden you're actually embodied. It's like you become the observer that's watching yourself. That's like, I can't believe these words are coming out of my mouth. This is amazing. I'm speaking my truth and I don't have fear around it. So it's really a program that's around those ancient priestess technologies to really help us become who we truly are. And there's also a strong through line around the voice. So yes, light language is going to come online. Yes, your soul song is going to come online. Yes, there's going to be chanting, but there's also commandment. There's spell casting. There's prayer. There's speaking our divine authority into this world of form so that our entire life upgrades. You can't be enmeshed in, you know, this amount of truth 9 months in a row and not walk away as radically more of who you actually are in truth, you know? So that's what I'm really excited about, because the sisters that are joining, I'm just like, we're best friends. I'm like, let's go. Like, can we be best friends? Because, you know, it's all, I work on soul resonance. None of it's like mental body. And that's why I do some of these experiences where you try it out for freaks. It's like, I'm checking for soul resonance. I can't put a pretty packaged bow on it because you have different soul agreements than Susie Q over here. You have different karma. You have different lifetimes. You have different gifts that are activating. But what I can tell you is that you will walk away as more of your true self, and you will have confidence and conviction in being that out in the world. And from there, you make different decisions. I give this example all the time. You know, how many times do we go to the coffee shop and we're like, oh my God, don't let me see anyone that I know. Like, I don't want to have to strike up, but like, just get me in and get out, right? But when you're in like such a high vibration, and this is not about bypassing, this is not like about high vibe only, but I'm just using this word. Like, when you're at such a high vibration because your true self frequency is online, it's like you go into that coffee shop, you're just radiating and you're open. And then all of a sudden you strike up a conversation and, oh, what do you know? Maybe there's this, like the example they're giving me in my head right now. So maybe there's someone listening who needs this. It's like, maybe there's a super high-end hotel who has been looking exactly for your medicine, your yoga meets goddess movement medicine. And they're just like, oh, really? That's what you do? I have to have you on next month. And now your audience grows tenfold. It's like, it's becoming who you are so that you're ready for the opportunities versus what we were talking about before, which is, oh gosh, I'm becoming the frequencies. Please drop the opportunities through the ceiling. Like, no, we tend to our garden so that we're open to the opportunities, but we also take the human 3D action to make them come alive. It's a marriage. It's not a move away from. It's a marriage.
Wow. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I'm loving all of this. And I also love that like piece in the beginning where everyone's just jumping in the container, getting to know each other. Did you say that happens for how many days?
We're on day 8 tomorrow, but there will be replays through June 6th. So if this comes out before then there's access to that. It's free.
Okay. Then after that, what is the next piece?
Holy Fire begins June 18th, and that's the 9-month program. Yes. And so I'll have a link for more information and to apply on that. Like, come one, come all, if you feel like you're ready to totally embody your soul fire. Because here's the thing, it's like there's stages to it, right? Like, you feel your truth, and then it's like the next stage is claiming your truth. Then there's embodying your truth, and then there's actually building with your truth. And those are very different levels of embodiment and experience. And the building is when you're so embodied that and you're integrated, right? So that your reality actually begins to shift to reflect more of your own soul light naturally. The hermetic principle of as within, so without. But we hear that, but no one really tells us what's the roadmap to actually do that. And that's where I got stuck personally, is I was like, oh, as within, so without. So I'm just going to sit here and meditate until something drops through my ceiling. That was a really great waste of 2 years of my life. Of course, nothing's ever wasted. It's all divine timing. But it's like, oh no, I have to marry that with action. I have to marry that with action in the outside world.
Mm. Yes. So if you are listening to this and you're getting that ping, you're getting that yes, like I'm super interested, take a little scroll to the show notes. You're going to see the links and you can register for both. And the 9-month program, remind me, that's June 18th.
Yeah, we start Wednesday, June 18th. And if people apply, then the next thing is a resonance call. So they'll be able to meet with me personally and get all the data they need to feel into whether or not it's a holy yes or holy no for them.
Amazing. So let's plug all the things because I'm so excited about everything that we talked about and everything that you have going on so that people can jump on in and vibe with everything that you're doing because it's so good.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. I mean, that's the main plug. Otherwise, it's like, connect with me on Instagram, please. It's so fun to be on there. And it's just like, you get much more of a day-to-day and just kind of like the wisdom that comes through on a day-to-day basis that just actually applies really well to the human realm. There's YouTube. Oh, I'm also on Spotify. I make music with my little brother. So that was a really fun thing that happened where around the same time that Spirit was giving me the chance, he was teaching himself to produce music. So we came together one time because he's 10 years younger than me. So there's quite an age difference and a gender difference. And I was like, yo, can you throw this on like a hip hop beat? And he's like, let's do it. So if you're looking for like some high frequency, like jam vibes, find me on Spotify. Those are there. We're going to be releasing more. I think I have 4 out right now. And I think, you know, that's really it. I would just love to thank you so much, Jen,
in for your embodiment and your glow. And you have just this exquisite energy. And it's just such a blessing to be on this podcast and feel like we've spent lifetimes together and see you in your greatness. And the way you hold space is impeccable in this context. And I'm so grateful. And I can't wait to, you know, go even further. And I just want to thank everyone who's listening and just remind everybody that, like, you are brave, you are worthy. Like, if you're listening to this podcast, you are brave and you are worthy. You are brave and you are worthy. And I just really honor that everyone is, you know, showing up for their path, because the priestess path, the spiritual path, when done in a real grounded way that actually leads to change, is not an easy path. It's not eating bonbons by the pool. It is quite magical. It has to be. There's got to be some carrots in order to keep us going through these damn fires. But there is fire. And so I honor everyone who's co-weaving this show with us. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you all so much for listening. And I will see you on the very next episode of the She's a God podcast. Thank you, Dani.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the She's a God podcast. Tune in next Thursday for a brand new episode. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. I would love to hear from you. Follow me on social media at This Is Jen Torres for all of the latest. And remember, she is a God, and so are you.